welcome to January's edition of the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. And coming up on this month's show, we're going to be joined shortly talking about the Midlands Division with current league leaders Ilkeston Town. We're also going to be touching upon the East Division, as we'll be joined by the managers at Liversidge and their near rivals Marsh United, as well as talking about the playoff race with Stockton Town. And of course, we're going to be talking about the West Division, as we'll be joined by the managers at Warrington Rylands and Runcorn Linnets. And to discuss Workington, we're going to be joined by BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh. But before that, let's start things off talking about the Midlands Division and head to Ilkeston Town. They're currently leading the way, tied though up at the top with Hales Owen on 58 points, only goal difference separating the two sides. And there wasn't much separating them either on Saturday, as it finished Ilkeston Town 2, Hales Owen Town 2. Hales Owen there scoring two equalisers in the last 15 minutes of that game to see the points shared. It's quite a remarkable game of football by all accounts. Let's hear the mood now at Ilkeston. And on Thursday, I caught up with their manager. It's a big welcome back to the show to Martin Carruthers. Well, Martin, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. And to talk us through this title race. We had Hales Owen Town on last month. And yeah, it's pretty tight, isn't it? But you're still leading the way on goal difference. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's so tight. And after the game last week against Hales Owen, you know, a really great advert for non-league football and football at our level with 2,500 fans and two teams really trying to, you know, win a game of football. And, you know, on the balance of things, when you reflect on it, I think it was a fair result and it could have gone either way. You know, they had good chances, we had good chances, and, you know, I think any team that lost it on the day would have been disappointed, but, you know, by no means would that have been the end of the title race. And it's funny, really, because we've got Chasetown on 57. They beat us this season, a very good side, and they're right in the mix as well, and you've still got Stamford, Belper, Carlton, you know, Coles Hill, all still floating around in amongst it, so there's a lot to play for and a long way to go. And it's interesting as well because Chasetown have still got to play both us and Hales Owen in the coming week. I think they've also got to still play Spalding, Carlton and a couple of other teams in and around the mix as well. So yeah, I said last week in my interview after the game that I think it's going to go down to the wire, and it probably will go down to the last game of the season, which won't be great for any of the teams or the managers. But I think it's that tight and the teams are that good that no one's going to end up running away with it, and that ultimately it could go down to the finale.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? To use a cliche, I hate this cliche, but it's true. You have to take every game as it comes, don't you? But it's your attention's now must be drawn towards Corby Town this weekend. How do you make sure that there's no... Because it's a good point against Hales Owen, but not necessarily the circumstances you'd like the game to have ended. So how do you make sure that the squad, they focus on the next game and don't necessarily think about the end of the Hales Owen match too much?
Yeah, listen, I think both teams were disappointed at the end of the game because it was such a big game on such a big occasion, and everybody wanted to win that game. But, you know, we trained well on the Tuesday night. In fairness, the lads looked tired and jaded because that game took a lot out of both teams, and both teams picked up injuries and knocks because it was played at such a pace, and, you know, that 4G is harsh, you know, on players' legs, certainly the older players as well. So, you know, it was more of a recovery session Tuesday night for us. We, you know, with Corby in mind, you know, they chased down and they beat them 3-2 at the weekend. And when we played them at home, you know, it took us 70 minutes to break them down, you know, in the first game. So we know all that, Millsy and how good his sides are. So there were no easy games, and the lads know this. And I know, like you say, it's the old cliche, it's one game at a time, but that's, you know, that's how we have to, you know, prepare and plan the season out. You know, we've got five tough fixtures this month, and, you know, we've set the lads some targets. I'm not going to tell you guys that, but, you know, we've set some points targets and some individual targets, and, you know, if we reach those, then, you know, we'll still be in the mix. But, you know, any team that drops points, then you're going to find yourself, you know, fighting an uphill battle, and like you say, the teams are that good and the quality is that high that, you know, there's still four or five teams that are still in with a great shout.
Just while I've got you here, Matt, as well, we should. Last week I spoke to Matt Clifford as in his new role as manager at Baysford. Just a mention for the legacy, basically, because, you know, we're talking here, you're top of the league. The crowds are on average nearly 1,000, aren't they, at Ilkeston? So, I mean, he's done a pretty good job, hasn't he?
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, you know, everybody at Ilkeston's got a huge thank you to Mark Clifford, because if it wasn't for him, then, you know, the current owners would never have got involved with Ilkeston Town Football Club, and the club might not be where it is today. So, you know, it was a massive part of the success that's happening now at Ilkeston. He was also a massive part of the success at Baysford when we were together, you know, and I'm delighted for him that he's got the manager's job now. And, you know, obviously delighted that the chairman, Chris Munro's, decided to delay his retirement, and that, you know, they're trying to get the club back on the footing and challenge for promotion again. And I know there's a big change this season, and there's lots of turnaround, but, you know, come next season, you know, I'm sure they'll be competitive and challenging for promotion. And I just hope that Ilkeston Town, you know, we get the promotion and that we're battling alongside them as well, because it'd be great to face to Mark and Chris Moe in the dugout next season.
Yeah, it'd be great for Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire non-league football, wouldn't it? But going back to what's coming up in the immediate, you know, two big away games, Histon the week after, Corby. What's your thoughts on the coming weeks, Martin?
Well, in between that, we play Loughborough at home on Tuesday night. Then we go away to Histon on the 12th. Then we've got Spalding away on the 19th. Then we play Carlton Town on the 26th. So we know that there are no easy games. And what we found this year is, you know, when you're top of the table, that you have everybody's cup final and everybody wants to beat you. So everybody raises the game. And we found that this season that teams were expected to beat comfortably, you know, it's not been the case, because teams just won't lie down and roll over and let you beat them. And like you say, it's easier to get to the top, but it's harder to stay there. And Hellzone have hunted us down, Chase Town are hunting us down now, along with Stamford Bolton, Coleshill and Carlton Town. So, you know, there's lots of players and teams that, you know, are going to do their utmost to try and stop us and prevent us getting promoted.
Well, Marty Carruthers, manager of Ilkeston Town, big, big thank you for taking the time out your Thursday to come on the show. All the best in the coming games, and catch up soon.
All right, mate, speak soon.
Martin Carruthers there, manager of Ilkeston Town, speaking to us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. So Ilkeston currently leading the way at the top of the Midlands Division. They're tied, though, with Hillsborough in Town, who sits second. 1 point behind the pair of them is Chase Town as well. Quite remarkable stuff up at the top of the Midlands Division. The race for the playoffs is also hotting up. Stamford, Belper Town and Carlton all separated by just 2 points. And Coleshill Town aren't completely out of it either, sitting in seventh, 5 points outside the playoffs. Let's go to the East Division now of the Northern Premier League. And 1 point separates the top two currently, Liversidge and Mash United. We're going to be joined by Mash United manager Cal Jarrett shortly. But before that, let's go to the current league leaders. Here's Jonathan Rimmington, manager of Liversidge. Well, Jonathan, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to how the league campaign is shaping up, I'd just like to mention the West Riders County Cup game you've just had with Halifax. What a result. 6-3 win there in front of a brilliant crowd. How was your Tuesday evening?
It was amazing, really, to be honest. To be fair, I mean, we could have probably scored 10, 11. I know they had a couple of young ones in, but they had nine first lads who were in their squad, so you train every day, and that causes a few issues, but our lads are flying at the minute, so a little defeat at Amers has done us a world of good, really.
I was going to
back on track.
I was going to mention, obviously, I have to mention the Yorkshire Amateur result, because it was seismic, and it's partly your own fault for being on such an unbelievable unbeaten streak that you're on. It was always going to come to an end at some point, but then to bounce back, you know, by beating Shildon, some great results against Hebburn and Ossett as well as that result against Halifax. So, I mean, how difficult has that period been to bounce back? Because it was always going to happen, wasn't it? A defeat.
Listen, the conditions were horrendous. It shouldn't have been played, in my opinion. The ball won't roll properly. They were definitely up for it. They've got some good players. You know what it's like. Localish derby. You know, Hammers have always been in our league. I know the manager very well. He's a nice kid, nice people. So they're always going to be the the ones that beat us, really. you just have to be that game, you know, them at Yorkshire Hammers, you know, they've been round us for so long, and they did us, yeah. So, yeah, the time after's been okay. We didn't analyse it. We didn't look into it too much. We knew what had gone wrong. To be fair, we learnt more getting beat than when we're winning all the time. So you learn more and you find out about people a little bit more. And I think it was just one of them games, you know.
Unfortunately, there's been there was a postponement at the weekend, wasn't there, with the game against Stockton. That game's coming up in early March now. So, I mean, it's just a case of carrying on as you have been, really, because the title race with yourselves and Mask is no different to the last time we spoke. It is nip and tuck, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, I look back to the first Ossett game when we beat Ossett at their ground 5-0, and we were 4 points clear then. If we win the game in hand, we'll go 4 points clear again. So at the end of the day, that's what we've now played. We would have played another 14 games since then as well. So we keep knocking them off now. So just one game at a time. I think there's, 14 games to go. I think we're all going to have blips, and we're all going to have Mars might go in front 1 week and then we might come back. It's going to be nip and tuck. Hopefully we can just keep ahead of them. And that's the plan. The plan is not to get overexcited and just deal what we've got to do.
Yeah, and that's the key, isn't it? It's all about consistency. Like you say, 14 games left or so. It's about keeping a lid on it, isn't it? And like you say, using that old cliche, taking one game at a time and all that, Frickley this weekend, it is just about focusing on Frickley and, you know, and then going on to the game after that.
Well, Saturday's Frickley's going to be tough because, I mean, they've had a little bit of a bad run, Frickley, but we went down there and give us a bit of a game, did Frickley, and then Tuesday we got Shildon. So we've got, I just said, listen, if we can get through next week, this is what I say every week, if we get through next week unscathed, then we're in it. That's what I keep saying. So hopefully next week is quite an important week. Then we've got Worksop a week on Tuesday, which is not going to be easy because they want to come and beat us. There's a couple of my ex-players play for them. It's going to be interesting. I think when it gets down to single digits, you know, in the 9 games and 8 games, then it starts becoming a little bit of a pressure pot. I think every game then becomes a cup final. At the moment, we're still trying to just keep it low-key at the minute, you know, with the players, just trying to keep it so that everybody's just relaxed.
And final question, Jonathan. We've obviously caught up numerous times this season, you know, ahead of really big games and FA Trophy matches and stuff like that. We are getting down to this running. How much are you enjoying it? Apprehensive? You know, can't wait to see what happens next. What's your final thoughts as we head towards, you know, the running in the East Division?
The final thoughts, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not in the way. Listen, we've done all right this season. We've done really well. To be fair, from where we've come, when I first started here at Liversidge 6-7 years ago, with my under-19s, and from where we've come, it's about that morale, what we've built. It's about the team spirit. It's about getting the right people in. For me, it's the recruitment that I did last year and the year before is now benefiting the team and the squad and the club. That is what we've got. We've got a great dressing room. We've got some really talented footballers. And I think that's the key to it all, the recruitment. And that the chairman's, you know, let me do that. I'm always out watching games. I watched Lewis Whitton 5 times before we made an approach for him, you know, just make sure he was the right sort of player that we wanted. And he's come into our group and he's flourishing, the kid. He's going to get better and better. The longer he stays with us, because we give him little pointers, little golden nuggets, and the things that we, around this group, with Paul Walker around and experienced players in training and in match day situations, he's learning every game and he's going to get better and better. Like Nicky Walker, wanting to join his football last year at Alfreton, and he's, again, another one, he's buzzing at the moment. And that's what we've got. We've got him buzzing, mate.
Well, Jonathan Rimmington, I think everyone watching these divisions buzzing at the moment for this title race that's developing. A big thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on the show. Really appreciate it. And all the best in the coming weeks at Liversidge.
Cheers, man. Top man. Thank you.
Jonathan Rimmington there, manager of Liversidge, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. Let's go to his counterpart now at the team currently sitting second in the league table. That's Manchester United, and I caught up with Carl Jarrett on Thursday. Well, Carl, a big thank you for joining us. And as we enter February, not much has changed, really. 1 point separating yourselves and Liversidge. What's the mood like at Mask?
It hasn't been too bad. Obviously, apart from the start of the Christmas period that we had against Stockland Dunstan, which was a little bit sticky for ourselves, which we didn't want. But since then, we've knuckled down as a team again and got back on the winning track. And then I think we've won 5 or 6 on the bounce now. So, we're back on track of where we wanted to be. If anyone had offered us where we are now, it's the beginning of the season, point behind with about 13, 14 games to go, I'd have been a fool not to take it. It's you want to be sat at the top, obviously, but, we're not far from it. So things are okay. Little things can be better in games, but that's just me having a little whinge, that's all.
How challenging has January been then, especially the early part? Like you say, the festive period, a lot of teams struggle over the festive period to get consistency, but then to like the Pontefract result, that's a grinding out result, isn't it? As well as, the more convincing result against Pickering. But, I mean, how difficult has it been just to keep that wheel going, as it were, and keeping the pressure on?
I think a lot of managers will tell you the same thing. If you're up the top or at the bottom, if you're at the bottom, you're scrapping for your life. And we've played a couple of teams that have been in and around that bottom area that have given us some really hard games, you like your Ponties, like you said, and your Tadcasters. We've got Sheffield coming up this weekend. They've all been tough games. They've not been easy games, to win. And we haven't got good records against some of them anyway, against your Tadcasters and your Pontefracts. As in domination in games, So, I mean, when we play Ponty away, they got the goalkeeper sent off, winning 1-0, playing very comfortable against 11 men. Went down to 10, they put a centre-half in goal, and we couldn't score a goal past him, and then looking like they were going to score, and they had to change shape. So, it's mad football when you look at things, but, like you said, we've had some tricky games because of the pitches turning to not being our fluent self on them pitches where it's nice and hard for us, and we can get the ball down and play. Obviously rolling your sleeves up and scrapping for your life in games and just winning by one goal where beginning of the season we were winning like 3-4s, so it's been tough for us on that side of things to try and adapt to the pitches and not getting the ball down as much and try to change our game around to doing things different than what we used to. But I'm proud of the lads, the way that they've stuck to it, and they've got on with the business and they've kept us on track, as you're most probably aware, I bought 3 loan players in after the Dunstan game, as in Jason Kennedy, Julian Mondell and Ryan Wanwell from Gateshead. It was realistically I brought them in just to sort of not replace lads, but for competition, yes, but also try and ignite us again to get us going. The type of players that can play in certain conditions for us, and I think up to now it's worked.
So as we go into February, 1 point separating yourselves and Liversidge, what do you make of this title race? What's it like being part of it?
It's good because that's what you want. You still want to be aiming for things. The last 2 years we've been aiming and we've been fortunate to be in the playoffs, but unfortunate that it went sideways season from COVID. But at the present minute now, you're looking at the table and for us to be taken over by third place, with 11 points or something in front of them, we're going to have to drop 4 or 5 games to get that when we've only dropped like 3 games, So, if anyone's looking at the table and would think it's going to be against us and Liversedge, you would thought for the title, a fair play to Liversedge. I can't speak highly enough of them. They're good at what they do. They're brilliant. I've watched them a few times this season, and they're not beating people just once. They're beating people 4, 5, 6s. So we've got a good togetherness. The scrap are hard for each other right through the full game. So it's going to be interesting right by the wire, and we know ourselves if we carry on winning, we've both got difficult games. They've got Stockton away on the plastic pitch, they've got us away, they've got Shildon next Tuesday away, they've got Cleethorpes, they've got Worksop over 6, so they've got quite a lot. But ourselves, we've got Stockton away, we've got Shildon away, and we've got obviously them at home, Liversedge. So something's going to give, and in the first half of the season, I think we they dropped about 7 points and we dropped about 11. We just need to tidy up on that side of things, really. So it's going to go right the way, I would have thought.
I was going to say, I think I said this to you last time when you'd actually only lost 1 game, but 3 games, to lose only 3 games at the minute and to be second is remarkable. And 1 game at a time and all that, Cal, but it's the end of April, isn't it? When that game with Liversidge is scheduled for.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx it for either you or Jonathan, so I'm not going to ask that question. Yeah. But it's going to be huge, isn't it? Potentially,
it is. Yeah, we've got two massive games that week. We just don't play them. Liversidge, we play Stockton straight after away from home, and our record against Stockton when we're in the Northern League was very good in the league. But in cup competitions in the last game, they've overcome us. You know, it's so we've got to take care of both them teams right towards the end of the season. But you are right. I don't focus that far in front because you've got 13 games and. We've come across teams where, like you said, we've found it very difficult to beat. There's in your Tadcasters and your Pontefract. And Sheffield, you know, they went the other day and they beat Pontefract away from home 4-0. So they're not going to be no mugs just because they're sitting there. So we're not taking them lightly. We've got an opportunity to try and kick on in the next few games when you look at the fixtures. But we've got to be aware of what the dangers can be as well if we drop our standards.
Well, Carl Jarrett, manager of Mass United, a big, big thank you for taking the time out your Thursday to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And all the best in the coming games, my friend.
No worries, thank you.
Carl Jarrett there, manager of Mass United, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. So 1 point separating the top two in the East Division. Then we've got Cleethorpes Town. They're currently sitting 9 points off top spot, but 10 points inside the playoffs. 8 points inside the playoffs, we've got Shildon sitting in fourth. And rounding off the playoff positions, 7 points inside the playoffs, we've got Stockton Town. And that's the next club that we'll be talking to now. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Stockton Town. It's a big welcome back to the show to Michael Dunwell. Well, Michael, big thank you for joining us. And before we get to the league table and everything else around promotion, just congratulations for the run of form Stockton Town are on at the moment. It's quite a run you're on.
Yeah, I think last time we were beaten in the league was away at Liversedge back in October. I think since then we've gone 11 unbeaten with 9 wins, 2 draws. So we've had a really good run of form and it's got us into the playoff places, which was what our aim was at the start of the season, and hopefully we can stay there over the remaining 13 games.
Yeah, it's given you a 7-point buffer, hasn't it, to sixth place with Stock Town. You do have a game in hand, but you're only 3 points behind Cleethorpes, so you're in third, and like I say, you've got a game in hand, but you've got a better goal difference as well. So, I mean, what's your thoughts about this playoff race as we head towards, you know, the running good and proper now?
Yeah, well, I think the four teams that are in there will, looking at it, they've been the strongest so far. And I think it'll be hard to dislodge them. But like we've shown, you can put a good run together and it soon catapults you up the league, and you only need teams above you to have a couple of bad results and other teams below will be back in the mix. So we've just got to keep believing that we can finish as high as we can, and that'll be our aim come the end of the season, to finish as high as we can. So I think that second place, fifth, third place, fourth, and the highest team will have home advantage in the semi-final. So we're just looking to finish as high as possible.
And I mentioned the goal difference there. It'd be remiss of me not to mention the goal scoring of Kevin Hayes. His hat-trick against Pickering Town a couple of weeks ago. I mean, how important are the goals for what you're trying to achieve and Kevin Hayes' goal scoring?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Kevin's just one of a few. I think Mikey Roberts as well is up there. We brought in Liam Cook from Whitby, who started to put some goals and assists to the chart as well. And he's been a big plus for us since we signed him. Also, you've got the likes of Nathan Steele, Jamie Owens, Nathan Mulligan, who are chipping in as well as our defenders. So it's everybody who's doing it. Kev gets a lot of the headlines with his some of his outrageous goals that he scores, and long may that continue. But everybody seems to be playing a part in the goals at the minute, and it was a problem for us at the start of the season. We weren't scoring enough, and now we are scoring quite a lot, but not conceding hardly any as well, which is another big plus.
And when it comes to you know, this next few games or so, Yorkshire Amateur this weekend, for example, there are no easy games. These are all banana skins. But I suppose it's all about consistency, isn't it? And just keeping that run going. But how do you keep that run going? Because at some point it will come to an end, I suppose. Not to be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah, of course it does. And we've got to take every game. I know it's cliche. You've got to take one game at a time in every game. You've got to approach in the same way. But there's a lot of confidence, and I think there's a lot of belief in the squad at the minute. I think, and I think we got that from when we played at Liver's Edge. I think something clicked that we can compete with the teams at the top of the league, and we have shown that on the run by beating the likes of Mask away and beating Shildon at home. So we know that we can compete at the top end of the table. It's just a shame that we didn't realise that at the start. But I think that Liver's Edge game, something clicked and the belief in the squad changed. And I think they can believe they can finish as high as possible. And we know there's going to be tough games. Yorkshire Hamlet will be a massive test because we think that they were one of the best teams to come to us this season. They really got the ball down well and played. And they're a bit of an up-and-down team. They can beat the top teams and then lose to the bottom teams, and that's just the type of league this is. So we've got to be at our best to beat them on Saturday.
And speaking of Liversidge, obviously the game, the return match was postponed, but have you totally ruled out a late push for the title? Because it's not beyond all realms of possibility, given the run you're on.
No, it isn't, and we keep saying that to the players. We want to finish as high as we can, and who knows, we could keep this run going and Liver's Edge or Mask could drop points, and it's the same for the likes of Cleethorpes and Shildon as well. They're within touching distance as well, so you never know what's going to happen. Nobody thought that Mask would lose a couple of games in a row. Nobody thought Yorkshire Hamlet would beat Liver's Edge and then Liver's Edge would draw a couple of games. So we're all in the same league, we're all playing at the same level, and anybody can beat anybody on the day in this league, and that's shown. So we've just got to focus on ourselves and look to get as many points as the board and see where we are come the end of the season.
And just a final thought as well, I mean, currently sitting fifth, but there's not too much separating everyone, as we've said. How important would home advantage be in a playoff? I know we're only in February, but Stockton Town's attendances are brilliant this season, aren't they? So that'd be quite handy, wouldn't it, for at least one of the games?
Yeah, definitely. That and the crowd have been superb, home and away. But I mean, I think if we had a home tie in the playoffs, if we were to get there, we would have well over 1,000 fans in, probably closer to 2,000, I would think. So, like you say, we've just got to take each game as it comes, and hopefully we'll be there come the end of the season.
Well, Michael Dunwell, manager of Stockton Town, big, big thank you for taking the time out of your Thursday to come on this month's show. Really appreciate it, and all the best in the coming games.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks.
Michael Dunwell there, manager of Stockton Town, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show for the month of January. Let's go to the West Division now of the NPL, and shortly we'll be joined by the managers at Warrington Rylands and Ron Conlinets. But before that, let's go to Workington AFC. They've opened up a 5-point gap up at the top of the West Division over Marine. And for more on the form at the Cumbrian side, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh. Well, John, a big thank you for joining us. And they're into the second half of the season now. Workington with a good 5-point lead up at the top. Marine do have a game in hand, but it's shaping up to be a good season for Workington at the moment.
Yeah, it is, Ben. We've done really well, considering the fact that for a good chunk of the first half of the season, we've had so many injuries. I mean, there was one point, I think this has been well documented, earlier in the season, we had up to 9 players out, you know, 9 senior players and good players at that were all missing through injuries. And very, very often, I mean, that was 9 was a one-off, but there were occasions when we had regularly had 6 or 7 missing. And the fact that we lost our top spot, we only dropped about 3rd or 4th, but are now back on top with a lead, I think is a testament to the resilience of the squad and basically to how the manager, Chris Wilcock, you've got to give him a lot of credit here, because he's brought in players to fill in and still be part of the squad who have been good. He knows the league. He knows the type of player that was required. And they've all done the bit. We have an interesting finish to the season, Ben.
Yes.
Because the last 4 fixtures are Marine away, Warrington Rylands at home, Kendall at home, and Market Drayton away. So that's the 2 main rivals. So I think that's definitely going to be Marine and Rylands. Those are, in my opinion, are the best 2 teams we've played. Marine, for their organisation, looked solid I know they've lost David Raven and don't seem to be as effective, but they were very, very well organised. We played them three times in a week, if you remember, right at the start of the season. We had the FA Cup, the replay, and then the league. We played them three times. Very, very well organised side, impressed by them. And then our first defeat of the season, apart from the Marine FA Cup extra time defeat, the first league defeat was at Rylands, 2-1, midweek. And I thought there were the, whereas Marine was solid and well organised, I thought Rylands had a bit more creativity, were a bit more dangerous, and looked a livelier side. And I wasn't surprised that they came through and are going to be a threatening side. So those are the two top teams you've got to play. And then, of course, the last two are against the current bottom two, Kendall and Market Drayton, who do look as though they're, sadly, they're the ones that are going to be going out of the league next season. So an interesting finish to the season. But we're looking, as I started this long diatribe, Ben, we're looking good. We're looking solid. We're looking very, very solid at the back, not giving many goals away. Creative and combative in midfield, and we're scoring goals now up front despite missing two very, very good finishers.
Like you say, I mean, for those last four games there, but it's 12 games in all, isn't it? And, you know, this is, it's that stage of the season, isn't it, where, you know, even the teams down the bottom can really do you damage. And I'm just looking at, you know, the list of fixtures to come. Obviously, Mosley this weekend. But, you know, Bootle away is not a gimme, is it? Leak away in the form that they're in. You know, Trafford at home, yeah. And Trafford, you know, got a chance for the playoffs maybe at that point, yeah, of the season. So you'd rather be involved in a race like this, though, wouldn't you, than in mid-table, I suppose. It's what it's all about, isn't it, as we head towards this running?
Oh, very much. I mean, we've been unlucky. A lot of clubs have been unlucky over the last two seasons, COVID affected. You know, we were winning the league by 10 points 2 years ago. We were up there the third and very close to the top last time when they got. So we've been close in these last two, sir, and stayed where we were. So I think we do deserve the success if we can get there. When I was pointing to the last four matches, I was quite aware that there were some big games in there between. They're all important, every single game. Usual managers. Cry is we take every game as we come to them. But interestingly, when we've gone well at the start of the season, we had a good unbeaten start to the season. I would say something in interviews to Chris, the manager, about the league table. He says, I never look at the league table. He says, ask me again when there's 10 matches to go. So after we played Mosley on Saturday and Poodle next Tuesday, I will be asking him what he thinks about the league table, you know.
John, just before we give a plug to BBC Radio Cumbria and the coverage of Workington, we should just mention as well, it's the centenary year of Workington AFC. So what's there's something coming up, isn't there, in March that needs plugging?
Yeah, there definitely is. As we were saying beforehand, Ben, it's our second centenary, but we're not 200 years old. We were formed in 1884. And sadly, in 1911, the original club went into liquidation. There was nothing for 10 years. There were attempts to sign to start different clubs, but they never took off, really. But in 1921, the Workington Reds Football Club was launched again, relaunched, and has been consistent now for 100 years. So that's what we're celebrating this time, that it's 100 years since the club was relaunched. It's a celebration of football in Workington, and it's going to culminate in a dinner at the Washington Central Hotel on the 18th of March, that's a Friday night, when we're hoping as many ex-players as possible will be able to attend. I mean, if there's any listening tonight, if they get in touch with the club, lovely to see you there on that night. With some special guests as well, and I think they've all made, in their different ways, a contribution to Workington Reds. We've got Dave Butler coming back, who was a former skipper. He followed Ken Furphy down to Watford when he moved to Watford to manage down there. He became a physio and then went to work for Tottenham under Terry Venables, and he was also physio for England under Terry Venables. Smashing lad. We've been friends ever since he played for Workington. John Ogilvy played almost 400 games for Workington. Only 2 men have played more. Great fullback. You could count on the fingers of one hand the bad games he had. John Reach from the North East. Popular player, wonderfully competitive player, and he was the first captain to lift silverware for Workington when we went out of the league and we won the President's Cup in 1983 in the Northern Premier League, beat Marine over two legs. He lifted the cup, played a lot of games for Workington, a smashing lad. And also Kyle Mayer, you'll have known of Kyle Mayer, Ben. He's the man who has played most games for Workington than anybody else. He surpassed John Ogilvie, the late Bobby Brown. And he's still playing locally. He's now signed for Carlisle City in the Northern League. And he's going to be a guest as well. So we're looking forward. It's going to be a great night. We're all looking forward to that. March 18th, any ex-players, please get in touch with the club.
And not just footballing legends, broadcasting royalty will be there as well, John Walsh. And John, just before you go, Mosley this weekend, updates on BBC Radio Cumbria as well. One last plug for this big game and Tuesday night's game as well away at Bootle.
Yeah, that's right. We're BBC Radio Cumbria. I'll be chipping in with a piece beforehand, talking to Chris Wilcox beforehand, giving a half-time report, a full-time report, talking to Chris, and then probably we'll be having a chat with Paul Newton in the studio. And then on Tuesday night, similar sort of thing, we'll be going and chipping in with, I'm assuming, Carlisle or Barrow will be playing next Tuesday, but we'll be contributing to the programme as well from Bootle.
Excellent stuff. Well, John Walsh from BBC Radio Cumbria, big thank you for coming on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And have a lovely weekend. Stay warm.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ben. And the same to you.
John Walsh there from BBC Radio Cumbria joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. So Workington leading the way currently in the West Division by 5 points over Marine. 2 points behind Marine, 7 points from top spot. We've got Warrington Rylands. And on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with their manager. So welcome back to the show to Dave McNabb. Well, Dave, a big thank you for joining us. And as we enter February now, Warrington Rylands very much involved, I think we could say that. How's things going at Rylands?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think, obviously, it's been very challenging. That the league's full of really good players, really good teams. And I think we've shown that we're capable of competing in the league. Things have gone well. I think we've been a little bit inconsistent at times. But, you know, it's to be expected as we've sort of stepped up to play bigger and better teams.
Yeah, 12 points inside the playoffs, 7 points from top spot. So slap bang right in the middle, more or less, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, are you looking upwards? Are you looking over your shoulder? Are you just looking to consolidate? I mean, or see how things go, I suppose, if in February and March. I mean, what's your thoughts on how things are progressing?
I think our goal at the start of the season was to try and sweep into the playoffs. So we're on track to try and do that. Obviously, we're nowhere near secured in that goal as of yet. But I think it's just, obviously, we set ourselves objectives, but we don't want to be thinking about it too often and you know, putting too much focus on what we expect to achieve at the end of the season. I think a lot of it's based around what do we need to achieve in the next game. I think as soon as you start thinking too far ahead, that's when you're more likely to slip up and take your eye off the ball of what's in front of you. And obviously we've had some tough games over the last month. I think largely speaking we've done really well, but we've got some massive games coming up as well, starting with Clitheroe on Saturday.
And that takes me to that point you made there. Obviously, we have to touch upon the kids' growth result, but then to bounce straight back and beat Glossop, who've been pretty good, haven't they, over the Christmas period. I mean, that's a hell of a statement there to bounce back the way you did against Glossop.
Yeah, and I think obviously that it was a very disappointing performance more than anything against Kids Grove. You're going to lose games of football at this level. There's no doubt about that. It was more the performance. And I think the lads let themselves down a little bit in terms of the standards that they set in that game. Going into, obviously, the Glossop game, we challenged them to sort of make a statement and come back and prove that, you know, we are a good side. And I think they did that in the right way. It was a difficult game in terms of the wind and whatever else. But some of the football we played, considering the circumstances, were really, really good and really pleasing win.
Now, a big game this weekend. Clitheroe hosting yourselves. Clitheroe are that team in sixth position, 12 points behind you. But they do have two games in hand on you. So this is pretty important, like you touched upon earlier, just to make sure you stay relatively comfortable in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, it is a big game. I think Clitheroe were one of those sides that came into the season as one of the favourites to be challenging for the league. Obviously, they had a bit of a managerial change and some of the changes in players that causes and brings with it at this level. And I think it probably took Billy a little bit of a while to get going. I have actually spoke to Billy this week and, you know, we're having a bit of a laugh about how important the game it is for both sides, really. So, look, it is a big game. It is only 3 points, and I'm not trying to downplay it, but you know, we've got to go into the game with confidence from last week and hope we can try and steal the 3 points, I think, in their back garden.
And we should say, I mean, we've touched upon, you know, what's going on just behind you there, but Marine are only 2 points ahead of you in the league table. So, you know, it's not beyond our realms of possibility you can get yourselves involved in that battle between Marine and Workington potentially in the coming months as well.
Yeah, I think, look, absolutely full credit to Marine and Workington. I think they've been far and away the best side so far this season. The consistency's been outstanding, really. I know Marine had a little bit of a wobble in terms of sort of a few games ago, coming up to the Christmas period and whatever. And Workington have probably dropped a few points towards the start of the season more than anything. They were obviously struggling like a lot of teams with injuries, but the consistency that both sides have shown, it's been remarkable, really. And you know, they are the two best sides in the league as it stands. Hopefully, if one of them has another little bit of a wobble, we would love to capitalise on it, because I think going into the playoffs, obviously the higher up you finish, the better. But at this moment in time, we're not looking too far ahead, either above us or below us. We're just trying to concentrate on each game as it comes.
And just a final thought, really, Dave, because, you know, we've been having this chat about, you know, how well things are going and you know, competing with the likes of Marine, Workington, Runcorn, Linnets, Leek, you know, clubs like Mosley and the like. But this is your first season at this level, isn't it? So it's going remarkably well. You must be over the moon as we're heading towards this running now.
Yeah, massively. And that's the thing. I think, if we'd have been in sort of 6th, 7th place at this point in time, you know, with our eyes on the playoffs, then we'd still be where we sort of thought we would. I think the group's done really, really well. The club is ambitious, so you know, we have been pushing to keep moving forward and keep striving to try and sort of have the best possible side that we can. But I think some of the coaching, some of the work that the staff's done, it's added that little bit of extra couple of percent that's allowed us maybe slightly overachieving where we thought we'd be. But yeah, the club's completely pulling in the same direction. We want to try and be as good as we can. So yeah, we're doing well. Still more to come, I suppose, and hopefully we can finish the season strong.
Well, Dave McNabb, manager of Warrington Rylands, big, big thank you for taking time out your Thursday to come on the show, and all the best in the coming matches.
Cheers, thanks a lot.
Dave McNabb there, manager of Warrington Rylands, joining us on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show for the month of January. Warrington Rylands sitting in third, 3 points behind Warrington Rylands. We've got Leek Town. They do have a game in hand, though. And then we've got Runcorn Linnets. Runcorn Linnets, 6 points inside the playoffs currently. And let's judge the mood now at Runcorn Linnets. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Runcorn Linnets. It's a big welcome back to the show now to Callum McIntyre. Well, Callum, a big thank you for joining us. And we're into February now. Runcorn Linnets in the playoffs positions. I mean, how are you finding things at the moment at Runcorn Linnets?
I think it's exciting for the football club, isn't it? The position we found ourselves in, 5th in the league, in a very tough league, surrounded by some massive football clubs in the context of this level. We're punching well above our weight, and we were always quite clear that we had a decent start, we had a strong second spell, a really good Christmas period, and now we find ourselves in that position with 13 games to go. It's important that we do everything we can to stay in those positions. Is it realistic? It gets more realistic with every week that we're there, yeah. But for us, we're well aware that we aren't a club or a team that have a divine right to be in amongst those top 4 or 5 positions. So we've just got to do everything we can over those remaining games to remain in that position. So very exciting, very pleased at what we've achieved so far, and equally determined to make sure that we have something to show for that come the end of April.
It's one of them stages of the season as well where you'd really want everyone to have played the same number of games just so you know where you are, because you obviously had to take on Workington this past weekend. Difficult assignment. You get beat, you come back into the dressing room, and Clitheroe have been beaten by Widnes. They've obviously still got that game in hand, 6 points behind you. But it's just nerve-wracking, I'd imagine, being a manager at the moment, having stuff to play for.
I don't get nervous.
I'm nervous for you, then. How's that?
and I welcome the compliment. It's exciting, and ultimately, if you're going to be involved in a league campaign, you want to be involved at the right end of it come the end of the season. And I would far rather be looking at the playoff positions and wondering around how the other sides in the playoff positions have done and how it affects our position than perhaps being 19th in the division, relying on results to try and climb it. So for us, I don't get too wrapped up in the league table. Like you say, it's totally skewed, A, around disparity in the amount of games played, but B, who you've played. And the sides that, like you say, Workington, who were, they were excellent on Saturday, we gave them a real good test. Marine, some of the hardest places to go. Those clubs that have perhaps played more of the top third of the league might be in a different position after they have some more likeable fixtures, as the way managers might look at it. So for us, we know that if we are going to obtain 2 points per game on average come the end of the season, in pretty much every year in the last 5 years in the Northern Premier League Division 1, that would get you in the playoff positions. We're really aware of that. So we're going to go after that target of 76 points. I personally think 77 will be what's required, and we will try and chase that down, like I say, needing 9 wins and a draw.
Next up for Runcorn, it's Trafford away, and I've not caught with Trafford in a while, but I'm imagining they've not given up hope on making the playoffs if it's possible. So this is a crucial game, isn't it, really, on Saturday?
I think it's the biggest game in terms of a league fixture since I came to the football club. Of all the 33 that we've played, that's the 25 so far this season and the 8 in the curtailed season. We've got to make sure we generate a little bit of momentum. We're lacking a little bit of momentum at the moment. If you look at our recent results, some really good performances in there. Even in defeat, a disappointing performance, and then a bit of frustration on Saturday against the side that are threatening to run away with the league. Performances are important. We've got to make sure the results back them up, and that's got to start on Saturday. Trafford, very good side, good facilities, good surface, good players. We know we're going to have to be at our best, but they are the type of fixtures that you want. They're the type of fixtures that have brought the best out of our group, and it might just almost reinvigorate us ahead of another tough run of games, because after the Saturday game against Trafford on Tuesday night, we'll be hosting Marine. So it's going to be a tough couple of days, but we back our group, we back our players, and we know how important those couple of days are going to be if we want to get anything out there at the end of the season.
I was going to ask you about the Marine game, obviously, but I'm not going to ask you about on-the-pitch stuff because, you know, one game at a time and all that. You've got to focus on Trafford first. But the crowds at Runcorn Linnets have been very, very impressive this year. You know, they've been impressive at Marine as well. There's not too much distance between the two clubs. It's going to be a big attendance, this one, isn't it, on Tuesday?
The crowds have been incredible. And genuinely, over the, I think, Marine, you know, you look at that game, like you say, the distance, look at the games that we've played and the crowds that we've had, it's something that I probably take real, real pride in as to what the club have been able to do over the last 12 months, 18 months, in terms of the average gates when we took over. And I don't mean that in terms of look at what we've done as a staff. I mean, look at the direction the club's gone in on the pitch, off the pitch, over that 18-month period, to be averaging well over 600 for every home game. To have had 933 there for a Saturday 3 o'clock game was fantastic. A Marine, bit of a derby. Hopefully they bring a few. Neil Young disappointed me when we went to Marine in that there was no sort of fancy continental lager on display for me. There was no bottle of wine, as he promised. So I'm sure that he'll do better than the away game, a man of Neil's calibre and has known me as long as he has. So we're looking forward to a game that, yeah, hopefully big crowd, big atmosphere. But for us, like you say, Saturday, Trafford, desperate for 3 points, and then the mentality will be the same for the Marine game on Tuesday night.
Well, hopefully Neil Young's listening and I can get that catering issue all sorted on Tuesday. But Callum McIntyre, manager of Runcorn Linnets, big thank you for coming on the show this month. Really appreciate it, and all the best in the coming weeks.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Callum McIntyre there, manager of Runcorn Linnets, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. But that's it for this month's Step 4 show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.